The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I'm Jason Fitz, in for Max. Max is having some technical issues with the Wi-Fi, so he wasn't able to connect, but I know you guys want to hear from him. We know it's important to get his voice here, so he's joining us on the phone. Max, we got NBA and NFL to get into. We don't have a lot of time. Have you grilled anything since
I talked to you? First of all, I wouldn't have come up with this Wi-Fi excuse if you're going to keep bothering me on the phone. I got my spread all ready for the game. What are you doing?
Well, you know, that's the thing. Like, does Max Kellerman have a preferred, like, food or drink item for a game he's really excited for?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I certainly do. Yeah, I got to get the, on the hero bread, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got the different kinds of deli meats, right? You got turkey, roast beef, you know. Sometimes I'll throw in even, like, some pork, depending on if it's, you mix in some salami or ham, right?
Mm.
Then you get you got the cheese going on top. And then the lettuce and tomatoes and onions, right? And then the secret ingredient is you got to take sour cream and onion chips. And you got to line the whole thing on top with the chips because you got the mustard on the bread. Mustard, no mayo. And the sour cream and onion chips, then when you push it down and you crunch the whole thing down and you hear that crunch, that's when you know it's gonna be a good football Sunday.
Now that
Thursday.
Now that I know that it's mayo free and mustard, we're soulmates at this point, Max.
Before we even get into sports, Fitz, what is this about the mayonnaise people? Every time you go into a store, you order a sandwich without mayonnaise, they look at you. You don't like mayonnaise? Like they've never encountered this before. But then you find guys like you, me, I know so many people who hate mayo. I'd say like a third of the population hates it. So why is it so, like, I don't care if someone else likes it. Why do the two-thirds that love it pretend? Why are they fronting like no one dislikes it? Why is it so important to them that we like it?
You have raised one of the great food questions in the world. Like, the minute you look at anybody that's passionate about their weird food and you don't like it, the shock and awe that comes from the other side of it is really alarming to me.
What's going on? But what, it's like a whole sham. It's a scam. They all pretend that they've never seen it before. What's in it for them? I don't understand.
Well, the important thing is I'm going to try this sandwich thing on Sunday when my beloved Raiders play. The only problem is if I don't like it, I'm up a creek, because if I eat something on game one and they win, I'm going to eat it until they lose. So whether I like it or not, I'm going to have to replicate it. So there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, I would say this. I don't really mix in the pork. I do either the turkey and the roast beef and everything, or separate. Well, I could do ham, but not salami. Salami would go only with the ham, not with the other stuff.
So many rules to the food game. That's what I love about it. All right, Max, I've been thinking about this since you talked to us last hour, and we were talking about coaching, and we were talking about the bubble and what it all means. And I keep thinking about it because we've obviously got a game 7 coming between the Celtics and Raptors that has just been, I mean, to be cheesy, it's been a magical series. Like, I need it injected in my veins. So, at some point, and I want you to hear this. This is what Kemba Walker said, Celtics guard, in the press conference after the game about responding to the way that they lost.
Why wouldn't I be? We have great players. You know, we're really competitive. That was a hard-fought game right there. You know, we could have been gave up. We didn't. You know, we fought hard. We made plays throughout the whole game. It took two overtimes. I'm confident. You know, we have a good group of guys, and, you know, we love playing basketball with each other. We love making each other better. I know we'll respond. You know, we're going to come out and play hard again.
So let me ask you, what do you put more weight into for a game 7? The response element and the sort of charge that you get from that, or the been there, done that, we can accomplish anything element that the Raptors will obviously have coming into the game?
I actually think they cancel each other out. I expect them, whether or not it's always an aesthetically pleasing game, like we saw with the Nuggets and the Jazz, for example, it was a great aesthetically pleasing series until game 7, but it was still really dramatic. I think it'll be dramatic. And like Nuggets and Jazz, I think it comes down to the better team. If the Celtics had Gordon Hayward and he was in the flow of things, maybe that would actually be the Celtics, but they don't. And the thing about the Celtics is, you know, we love to say, like, this is a big three. Well, no, Kyle Kuzma's not part of what big three? What are you saying? No. This is the big two, and you look at one of them and you go, well, maybe that guy's sort of an all-star. If he's the second best player on your team, not good enough. The Celtics, whether or not they have a big four, they have a legit four. Like, everyone in their starting five, including Tice, is above average. But Marcus Smart, he's like got that Rondo gene. What is it with these Celtics point guards, right? Like, he plays huge when you need him most, both ends of the floor. He just elevates, which is a real thing that he does. It's amazing. But the four guys who start on that team, meaning obviously Kemba Walker, who's the closest thing you're going to have to Kyrie, but is good in the locker room and good for your chemistry, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, who I think one day can be the best offensive player on a championship team, maybe this year, I don't know, it's possible, but I don't think so, but maybe. And obviously Gordon Hayward. And they complement each other well. Kemba and Tatum can really play together. And the thing I like about Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward is these are two-way wings who you don't need to draw plays for. You know, who, like, Gordon Hayward's passing can help you and their defense can help you. Jaylen Brown, they can do things where they can get their points in the flow of the game and not take away from what Kemba or Tatum are doing. So I really, really like that top four talent, big four, or at least upper middle four, right, that the Celtics have. If you take one away and you're up against a team just about as good as you, now maybe that team is a little better. So whatever other intangibles we want to get into, I just think missing one of your key components is going to be too much for Boston to overcome in a Game 7.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz talking right now to Max on the phone. And obviously, we talked about it earlier. The weekend starts today, which is brought to you, by the way, by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. You're talking about talent and all everything that's going to be on display. Tonight, we get week one of the NFL season. What is a real expectation in your mind, considering there was no preseason and the limitations ramping up? What do we expect tonight from the Chiefs?
Well, first of all, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, and by the way, Raj, we do this DraftKings League, and Raj makes one of these things that we all join in, right? A group of us join in. And I noticed that Edwards-Hilaire, none of these guys from the Thursday games are available. So then Raj sends out an email, group text, talking about hey, you know, I got to send out, we're going to do another group because this doesn't include the Thursday games. And that one didn't include the Thursday games
either.
Truth.
Because how many times did you miss the deadline on Thursday? Every time.
Well, hold on, but then why are you creating a whole separate league just to get the Thursday games in? But that's not even the punchline. The punchline is I get a text from Raj earlier today talking about, hey, are you going to take any Chiefs and any Kansas City players in tonight's game for our league?
Stop calling the 1-800-SNITCH-9. This answer fits his question. Stop calling the snitch line. This ain't our
business. Wow. I didn't know I was stirring the pot.
That Edward Blair is not available at either. I don't even know how he's
expired.
Yeah. So anyway, Edwards-Hilaire, I think you add him to that mix in Kansas City. And not only that, here's the scary thing about Kansas City. Their defense got better Mahomes year one to year two, right? And Mahomes had an all-time great playoff series because in three consecutive postseason games, he overcame second-half double-digit deficits. Like, he's amazing. And he is the best I have ever seen with my own eyes. I'm comfortable saying that. It was Aaron Rodgers. I don't mean the greatest. I know Tom Brady is the greatest, and he replaced Joe Montana, the greatest. I'm not talking about the most accomplished or even the most clutch. I mean the best I've ever seen with my own eyes. It used to be Rodgers. Now it's Mahomes. So all those things, and he has Kelce, and he has Tyreek Hill, who is like not just some kind of special teams fast guy. That dude is a great receiver, right? He has all these things, but you know what? Why were they in double-digit deficits in three consecutive games? Mahomes, having never been to a Super Bowl, and you know, I think throughout the playoffs, was less than his best. He was his best when he needed to be, but he dug himself a little hole. What if he gets over that? What if now with that experience, he's not digging holes? And now he has a guy, I mean, respect to Damian Williams, but when you lose Kareem Hunt, you know, when you think about quadruplets, has there ever been a better quadruplets than Mahomes, Hill, Kelce, and Kareem Hunt? And he didn't really have that last year. But now he has Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. This is, if this guy is everything that people think he can be, the Chiefs are going to be impossible this year and for the foreseeable future.
Oh, Max, this is why Raiders fans drink. All right, Max Kellerman, he'll be back on his show tomorrow, presuming the Wi-Fi works. Man, I appreciate you hanging out. Thanks for letting me.
Can I start partying or no?
Yeah, you can start partying now. We're not going to call you again. I'll keep the seat warm.
Don't call me anymore, please. I'm very busy.
Oh, Max, thanks for hanging out with us. Appreciate you. And look, obviously, as he just said, I'll never forget last year, the national championship game. I was standing on the field next to one of our NFL or college football analysts, and I'll never forget when he looked at me and said, can't tackle what you can't touch. And he was talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So going to be interesting to watch.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Fact is grown by one on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. And, of course, on your smart speakers, I'm Jason Fitz. Max, having some Wi-Fi issues. He's out today. Jordan Cornette, my buddy, coming in. And you made a long drive, got here, able to hang out. But, by the way, I was told you're going to be here at 3 o'clock. Came kind of lollygagging in at 3:08. I'm just wondering, you know, like, how you feel about that right now? Got to turn your mic. You got to turn his mic on.
I'm on.
What are we doing here? What are we doing?
Are you hearing me
now? I got you now.
I'm not in the shape I used to be, Fitz. I mean, I did the best I could. I literally sprinted across campus to be here. Is that not good enough for you?
You and your wife are hosting together the first ever husband-wife team on Sundays, and which, by the way, is incredible because you're both amazing people. Now that I've said something particularly nice about it,
Is that what's coming?
Right. No, I'm just I'm worried about it. So, like, do you get to hot take on? Because you work with Sarah Spain, who I work now on Spain on Fitz for 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. You worked with Sarah, so sometimes radio can get heated, right? And
you do a lot of this. And on radio, you can't see it, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's I agree. That's what you do. And luckily enough, I worked with a woman who was incredibly knowledgeable and right way more than I ever was. But now I'm working with my wife, who's equally as right as Sarah Spain was. So I know how to be a good company co-host side.
Well, it's an important question because you and I are in a fantasy league together, and we will be taking each other on. So we got to get a little bit of insight on this. By the way, the Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Casey Joyner joins us there. And Casey, our fantasy expert, we need the guidance. Jordan and I are competing, so these questions are going to be all over the place, really, against each other. We appreciate your time and your insight, my friend. Thanks for hanging out with us. So let's start with a name that was just brought up by Max Kellerman on why he's so hot on the Chiefs this year, and that would be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. What do you expect? We always hear about rookie running backs and how there's so much nuance to the game they have to pick up. So as a fantasy expert, what do you realistically expect from Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year?
I expect that they're going to use a lot of Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams had nearly as many offensive snaps last year as McCoy or Damian Williams, so he was a pretty central part of their offense last season. And I agree with you that it sounds like Edwards-Helaire is going to be part of probably a platoon setup, so I don't think that he's going to be not in the contest. They're just going to put in situations where he can excel, and if that's the case, Darrell Williams should be a pretty good play this week. I've got him listed as at least a flex option in my start-sit charts, and he's only rostered in 18.9% of ESPN fantasy leagues right now. So if somebody wants to get in on tonight's high-scoring game, that's a great place to get in.
We're having our own technical difficulties as Jordan's having some issues here trying to hear you. So I'm just going to ask you another one while we get it all worked out, Casey. We appreciate you. By the way, you can follow him at KCJoinerTFS. So one other question, and really this is selfish because I drafted him, but people seem to be high on DK Metcalf for the Seahawks. I drafted him. Was I brilliant or am I just really smart?
He's going to be hit or miss just because it's such a run-centric offense. Seattle runs the ball more than any other team except for maybe Baltimore. And even if you account for game scripts, they're just that run-heavy of a team. Having said that, I've got a matchup rankings system, and according to that system, Atlanta is the most favorable pass defense matchup in the league this week. So Seattle's got a fantastic matchup there. And because of that, because Metcalf has the best individual matchup among the Seattle wide receivers, I've got him ranked ninth on my start sit chart. So he's usually considered a wide receiver three or flex candidate, but I think he's going to be a wide receiver one this week. So he's definitely getting the lineup guy.
We're talking to the football scientist. We're working a lot of different issues here going on at once. The Max Kellerman Show, Jason Fitz, Jordan Cornette in for Max, trying to get some technical difficulties worked out here with Jordan. So I'll just stick with you again. So I'm curious from the quarterback standpoint, when you start to look at guys that you think might take a big jump, is there anybody that stands out to you that maybe we're underappreciating?
Guy takes a big jump. I don't know where Cam Newton fits on that because there are people who are sold that he's going to run the ball as much as he did in Carolina, and it wouldn't surprise, of course, if New England does that with him. Having said that, they don't want him to get hit as often as he got hit in Carolina, so he may be that guy. I've got him as a guy who has blue-rated upside in my system, or blue is an elite upside grade, so he's there that this week. But somebody I'm really iffy on, I think Ben Roethlisberger, he threw so often in 2018, and the Steelers usually, when they have a couple years like that, usually where they'll throw the ball a ton, and then they'll get back to their ground game. And I think they're going to get back to the ground game some this year, but his elbow looks great. Claypool could be an impact rookie. Deontay Johnson looks great. Smith-Schuster is going to be motivated to try and get a contract. They got Eric Ebron. I keep adding those factors together, and I keep wondering, do I have Roethlisberger undervalued? Because I had him on like the right on the border of QB1 status, and I have a feeling it wouldn't take much to get him into the QB1 tier.
So, KC, so many people have completed their draft at this point, but even with the draft complete, now's that time where you can go in and try and be the smartest guy in your league. Is there somebody that is sitting out there that's available all over the place that you think we've all missed on?
There, I'll give you three different names at running back that people should be considering rostering. We'll start with James Robinson in Jacksonville. Jacksonville put Divina Zigbo on the IR today. Fournette's gone, obviously, and they brought in Dare Ogunbowale, but he's going to be a pass-catching back. Looks like Robinson, he's listed number one in their depth charts, so he's going to get the bulk of the carries there. He's only rostered in 15.4% of ESPN league, so I think he could be a very good early-season play. Boston Scott, if Miles Sanders' hamstring keeps acting up like it has been, Boston Scott could be a guy who maybe gets a platoon or even could get lead back if Sanders ends up missing some time with that. He's only rostered in 39.6% of leagues. And Ryan Nell is the real deep sleeper in this one, because David Montgomery may have a torn groin muscle. Sure, they're going to use Tariq Cohen, but Tariq Cohen's a pass catcher, and they're not going to wear him down with a ton of carries. Nall's next up on the list for the moment, at least. It may change, but right now he's next up on the list. He's only rostered in 0.1% of ESPN leagues.
If there's anything I know, today's the day to follow him on Twitter, at KCJoinerTFS. He's the football scientist. We need all the help we can get. I'm in three leagues this year. I feel like I'm just completely lost in this. So, KC, thanks so much for the expertise, my friend. We appreciate you hanging out with us and appreciate you giving us all your insights.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Jordan, we are taking each other on in a league, and so I'm glad that because of technical difficulties, you didn't hear anything, because I got the app open. I mean, oh, yeah. I'm acquiring. I am acquiring as we speak. That's professionalism.
Heard nothing. Easily the best work I've ever done.
Well,
easily.
He's Jordan Cornett. I'm Jason Fitz. The Max Kellerman Show is what you're listening to on ESPN.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course, on your smart speakers. I am, of course, not Max. Max is having some technical issues. Jordan Cornett, Jason Fitz, in for Max. It's been a crazy day, my
friend. Have you done every show on ESPN platforms? You're the most valuable piece to the operation here at the network.
No, I don't know about that. I just feel like, you know.
Outside the Lines, College Football Live, SportsCenter. I mean, you may.
And you know what? Speaking of College Football Live, you should check it out today, 5 to 5:30 p.m. on ESPN 2. Be hosting.
You've made history as the most plugs. I mean, you're the hardest working man in showbiz.
You're working your tail off too on the ACC network. Come on now.
I consider myself the poor man's Jason Fitz. Well, homeless man's is probably more accurate.
No, because like again, my best ability is availability. I feel like they roll through the Rolodex and like nope. Well, he's got nothing going on. We'll call him. That's the way it works. But either way, it's fun. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at home with your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at home, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van. Find out how far an extra mile really goes, from customization and service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. Oh, the doorbell means that Raj wants to chime in. Raj, what you got, my friend?
Yeah, guys, before you tell me about the Lakers and the bubble and the advantage, I got to call the 1-800-SNITCH-LINE. It's my first time working with you guys. But Jordan, not only were you late, not only can you not hit power or the on button on your microphone, but you didn't even have working headphones for the show, man. That's like going to the OK Corral without your six shooter, man. Talk to me, man. What's going on?
So, Raj, this is how y'all do it here at the show, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to call the snitch hotline on anybody, new, old. I don't care who you are. I got snitch.
So let's try and play out how this thing goes. Max Kellerman, who's one of the best to do it, can't get stuff right to do his show. Jason Fitz jumps in. He's here. I'm getting ready for the first college football game of the season in the P5 realm, or should I say P3, as I'm hosting on ACC Network tonight, UAB versus Miami. There's a plug. That's happening at 7 p.m. tonight. So I'm focused on that. I'm about to have lunch for the day, ease my way into getting prepared. I get a call. I drive an hour in traffic to get here as soon as possible. Try and be a team player. And this is how I'm greeted, Raj? Late.
I'm sorry, man.
How can you be late for something that's not on the schedule?
Raj,
what I just heard
out of any of that is that Jordan made the mistake of buying a house an hour from campus. That's why that's why you got to go to hard-hitting New Britain. It's closer.
It's like Friday. How can you get fired on your day off? How could you get ridiculed for being late on your day off? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Just saying. The people want to know, man. Just saying.
Crying babies in the background. And
Is that me whining? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. But what I do know is that they are ruthless on this show.
For real.
There is the next time we come in last second, I'm just saying, going to be different.
Expired.
Wow.
I love that commercial.
Let's get into a little bit of Lakers here. Remember, it was Michael Thompson, former NBA player, on the Max Kellerman show that talked a little bit about playoff Rondo. And this is important. Let's hear what he had to say.
You know, he has moments like this in the regular season, Max, just that nobody pays attention to it that much because it's the regular season. This obviously gets magnified a million more times when you're in the playoffs like he's doing now. And the fact that Rondo's playing at this level does not surprise me. He's a tough guy. He's a competitor. He's an NBA champion in the past, so he knows what it's like to win a championship, to play at this level. He's been there, done that. So to see him step up and produce like this doesn't surprise me. It might surprise other people out there, but he's not going to be out there for 40 minutes, but he's going to have big moments and big games because he's not afraid of the moment.
Yeah, and Jordan, I mean, I think the thing is all the conversation about why is he only that way in the playoffs, and obviously the bubble, the Lakers believe, has helped them because it sort of normalizes some of the travel issues and the game times and everything, and maybe that's part of it. But to me, it's much simpler than that. Like, as a musician, I was terrible in rehearsal, but you put a crowd out there, I'm going to do much better. Like, there are, for NBA players of his level, the regular season is rehearsal, and they don't care about it, and I don't really fault them for it as long as they bring it when they have to bring it because their legacy is built on championships.
Yeah, and on top of that, Fitz, you know, this is a guy who's coming off injury. Like, let him find his legs. Let him find a rhythm first in that first game, which is when I fell victim to saying, hey, Rondo needs to be Gondo for these Lakers to figure it out. He's not the piece. But then he became another piece for the Lakers that gave them support. Because AD and LeBron, the margin for error is slim. They're not deep like the Clippers, that other team in L.A. They need not just a third person like a Kuzma to deliver. They need a fourth performer. Game two was Markieff Morris. This time it was playoff Rondo. Look, Rondo's managing. Load management is just a thing for all these stars. It has to be for them to squeeze everything out of themselves to be in this moment. Rondo's in the moment now where he can put on for this team and potentially lead them to not lead them, but be a piece to a championship. So for what he's giving them, it also allows him to give that when those other two are playing at the high level they are. Because let's be clear, the tone was set by LeBron in the first half with the points, AD throughout, and then the defense from LeBron in that second half, which allows a Rondo to ease in there and deliver.
Let's be real, too. Like, I think it's honest to say that, yes, if they had a third person that could come up and be consistent, that would be easier for the Lakers. The other side of it is, that would require a third person that is so good he can be that piece, but is also so humble in the ego of how he got there that he's willing to just give up touches left and right. That's not an easy thing to find, and that's where maybe these different people that step up provide some sort of an element there.
It's hilarious. You mentioned that, given the comments from him, MPJ, just last night for the Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr., who is clearly showing his youth and inexperience in this league, openly speaking about how he needs to see the ball more and be a bigger factor in what they're doing. And I'm sure Jokic and Murray are sitting there like, hey, young fella, like, this is your first dance. This is your first dalliance in the playoffs, talking like that. But it speaks to that adjustment. You need maturity around you. And the Lakers, as mature a group as there is in these playoffs.
Yeah, know your role is a really difficult thing for anybody that's created anything to accept, but it's a key thing in the NBA to me. By the way, we want to get to the progressive Major League Baseball snapshot. The Dodgers at this point, 5-1. I mean, in games that go extra innings, the Dodgers are crushing it. I don't know what that means at this point. I don't know why they're so much better, but they've won each of their first two games in this series versus Arizona in the 10th inning. MLB is only using the new extra innings rule for the regular season this year, not the postseason. So the ability to put somebody automatically on second seems to be helping the Dodgers right now, but that has no transfer to what's going to happen in the playoffs. It's just a fun little nugget for you. MLB snapshot brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Max, the podcast.
Well, this isn't going to be Max's last take, but it is going to be Fitz's last take. This feels like sort of a walk down memory lane as I spent some of the year doing First Take, Your Take, and reacting to some of the takes. But I'm going to get something off my chest, Jordan, and it's about tonight's NFL matchup between the Chiefs and the Texans. I don't know why Bill O'Brien still has a job. I can't be any clearer about this. When you are a coach and you have a spectacular young quarterback, it becomes your obligation as an organization to maximize the opportunity to win a championship or get as close to that as possible with the talent that you have. Bill O'Brien somehow has leveraged having a great young player into a promotion as the GM. He's leveraged it into more opportunities with his coaching. He's leveraged it into some reputation that he's doing a good job. And I don't understand it, because any other coach in a market where they were paying attention to what's happening with the youth that they have at quarterback would be absolutely raked over the coals time and time again for not being better than the Texans have been while they have a quarterback at the level of Deshaun Watson on his rookie deal. It's spectacular that he got paid, and I'm big on that. Like, I want guys that are great to get paid. Congratulations to him getting paid. But now the Texans' job just got more difficult. And if Bill O'Brien and the Texans couldn't get it done when they had the freedom of having cap space available and cash available, why the hell would I think they could get it done now when things just got tighter? The only way I believe the Texans can take the next step is by making the difficult choice to find a new person to lead the organization. And tonight's just going to be a painful reminder that the Texans aren't as good as they should be because they haven't done what they should do to build around their young talent.
I love it. I couldn't agree with you more.
Look at that.
I mean, but here's the thing. On top of that, in that division, you've been surpassed. The Titans picking up Jadeveon Clowney, seeing what they did, locking in Tannehill as their quarterback. They're going to be even better than they were last year. That's scary. I think the Colts may be the best team in the AFC. That's how high I am on the Colts.
You have lost your mind.
Maybe, maybe. This team has legitimate Super Bowl hopes.
No. Okay.
Wait.
Now, Jordan Cornette and I are going to go first take on this.
Tell me why not. With a top 10 defense, a proven running game, Phillip Rivers just has to come in there and be above average. They've got receivers. Tell me why this thing should
Somebody give me the ding, ding, ding sound or something, because you just said the big name right there. The reason that they're not the
you
best.
Don't believe in Rivers.
The reason that they're not even the best team in the AFC South is because Phillip Rivers can no longer play quarterback at an elite level. That's simple. I watched him as a Raiders fan. I watched him gift games. Like, there was a game last year where
he's got offensive line this year.
On Thursday,
he's got a line that's going to protect him, though, Fitz.
On Thursday night football, he thought Eric Harris, the safety for the Raiders, played for the Chargers. He was just like, hey, you get a ball, and you get a ball, and you get a ball.
How did that offensive line help set him up? Did they prop him up to succeed there?
No, they didn't.
With those Chargers?
No.
Is this arguably the best line in football? One of the top 3-4?
I mean, you go up. So, like, the Texans and the Colts have the opposite problem to me. One is an incredibly good roster that I believe does not have the quarterback they need.
And the
Texans have the quarterback they need, and the rest of the roster, you're like,
J.J. Watt's back. He's healthy.
Mike could. Like, that. I'm going to use my Southern roots. Like, Mike could. Like, that's the moment for me, and that's what makes the South so, why I'm so frustrated for Texans fans. Let me be clear, too, before Texans fans blow me up on social. I'm rooting for Deshaun Watson. I want the Texans to be great because Deshaun Watson is fun to play. And if you watch some of the film breakdowns, you'll see people comparing Deshaun Watson over and over again to Patrick Mahomes. The difference is you got one organization that looked at it, figured out how to build the right pieces around it, got the right, they took their time to make sure their coaching could get it done. Like, all of these things. I don't believe the Texans have been good enough because they haven't been able to do what even the Colts have done. Now, I do think that the Colts made a tragic decision because, frankly, Phillip Rivers, to me, is a gunslinger that can no longer sling. Like, so he's that guy that still
can he adjust? Can he adjust within the system? And will Frank Reich tailor it around him? What about Tom Brady's coming off statistically? I'm not comparing Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady. That's not what I'm doing here. But what about what Tom Brady did on the field last year? Yet he goes to Tampa, a whole new system, loaded with weapons, and everybody's ready to crown that team this year. So if you're going to give that kind of adjustment, albeit to the GOAT, shouldn't we give a little bit more respect to a Hall of Famer here in Phillip Rivers?
Brady wasn't great last year compared to what we're used to.
I mean, great, that's being very, very gracious.
Phillip Rivers was bad. I mean, there were times last year where I thought he was a detriment to the team, not a positive to
the
Chargers.
I agree with you.
And so that's what hits me on it. And, you know, frankly, you mentioned Frank Reich, and there's a lot of continuity matters in this offseason because of COVID-19. And so maybe they have a better shot at coming out and showing some of that continuity. But to me, you played basketball, obviously, at an incredibly high level. Do you still play at all? Like, do you still go into the gym sometimes?
No, not like I used to. I want to protect these knees.
If you walked in today to somebody that was, let's say, 22 years old, and like they were still at the prime of that, and you went in and you tried to dunk, how would that go for you?
You know what I'd do? I'd lean on the other four guys on the floor. I'd say, hey, I'll be a screener. I'll be a rebounder. I'll do what I need to do.
That's what I say when I go into the gym. I'm like, guys, I'll play good defense and I'll hustle.
But that's the point. They've got a run game and they've got an offensive line. Phillip Rivers doesn't have to be the dude. And I think it's not fair to compare what you saw with him last year because this team offensively is in a better position. Better playmakers on the outside with that Chargers team last year, no doubt, but he was running for his life. And when you got a gunslinger running for his life, percentages are going to put him in a place where he's putting that ball in the hands of the defense more often than
But not. You're glossing over the better playmakers argument. Think about the Chargers.
Those guys are great.
When Tom Brady was looking at where to go, how many people were like, oh, he's got to go to the Chargers because look at the weapons they have. Sure. And I'm like, did I miss something? I mean, 5-11, yeah, they got weapons all over the place.
Why didn't he go there?
I mean,
but why didn't he go there?
Well,
maybe he looked at that offensive line and said, hey, I like my life.
I mean, that is a fair point. And certainly we don't want Brady running for his life. That is not going to be a pretty picture at all. But to me, there's this element of addition by subtraction. The Chargers, I think, are a little better this year because they don't have Phillip Rivers. And to that end, I'll turn around and say, conversely, I agree with you. The running game in Indy is going to be...
I mean, Jonathan Taylor is not even the number one.
Which is crazy to me. I mean, Taylor is just...
crazy.
They could sit there and just run and run and run. The problem is when they try and throw, it's Phillip Rivers that's going to have to do it. And that's why I look at the last several years and I'm thinking, man, how did the Texans not get it done? I mean, the minute that Andrew Luck left that division, it should have absolutely in that moment, you're like, hey, this is clear. The Texans are far and away the team. Mm-hmm. And instead, we're coming into this year I think we agree that you're taking the Colts as the division champ.
I like the Colts out of the division.
I like the Titans. I think the Titans will win the division.
I think that's where the public would go with it. But to your point, there's questions that can be answered tonight, though, Fitz.
But by far, even though you're taking the Colts and I'm taking the Titans to win that division, the best quarterback in that division belongs to the Texans.
No question.
And when you have, like Marcus Spears said with me earlier, when you have a quarterback, you have hope. The reason that I don't think the Texans have hope this year isn't because of their quarterback. It's because of the roster that Bill O'Brien's been partially responsible for building and for the coaching that he does on game day that doesn't maximize what his players are capable of.
Cautionary tale to give a guy that much power on the sidelines and then let him make those front office decisions. And when things get personal, it gets messy like that.
Yeah, well, one thing I know is that tonight's the opening night of the NFL season, so presumably Max took the day off to grill. And that's
Are you mad at him?
I'm not mad at all. When your name's Max Kellerman, you can do that. I mean, that's what happens. We will hopefully you'll have Max back tomorrow. Depends on the Wi-Fi. If not, we'll just see. You know, never know. We could end up doing the Batman signal and we come running back in.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.